Inside the Huddle with Sky Sports, Neil Reynolds and Jeff Rimebo.
Yes, hello and welcome to Inside the Huddle in association with NFL Shop Europe. We're sponsored by DraftKings.co.uk. It's our second offering of the week as we're going to look ahead to week 12. I'm your host, Neil Reynolds, and I'm very pleased to say, not in a coffee shop 4,000 miles away or in his office at 5 o'clock in the morning, but sitting no more than 2 feet away from me, Jeff, welcome back to the UK.
It's awesome to be back. You know, I'm sitting across the table from you, Neil, and I never noticed that you had a Miami Dolphins phone case on your phone.
You know I'm a
that
believer,
That probably Jeff. Just came out in the last 5 weeks, didn't it?
I'll tell you this. This is a new phone. I got this new phone. I'm trying to get with the times. I got this new phone last Friday. So it's not even 5 weeks. This phone case has been on there about 5 days. But I'm a believer, you know. Because I was actually watching that game last week.
There's a lot of great things about the Dolphins right now. A lot of great things. The offense is making some plays. Jay Ajayi's emerged as one of the top backs in football. They can still rush the passer. But beyond all things with the Dolphins, Neil, in my mind, when they brought back those beautiful uniforms.
Oh, the ones the other week.
Those were top shelf.
Oh, it was the Bills, wasn't it? The Bills game, the old throwbacks. They were fantastic. Jeff, great to have you back here. We're in Sky Sports today because we're going to get into our studio in a little while to prepare for tomorrow. We're going to go through some rehearsals, getting ready for our Thanksgiving Day game. So you're going to hit the ground running this week, Jeff, because we've got 3 games tomorrow. We've got 3 on Sunday. But, you know, we love doing this and we love talking NFL, so it'd be great to get back. Must be nice for you to come back and see it continue to grow. We've had another successful international series.
Yeah, you know what? It's amazing. I tweeted this out, and Monday night when the Raiders and the Texans played in Mexico City, the thing that shocks me all the time with the American media is that it's almost like they're amazed that there's an interest in American football anywhere outside the United States or Canada. And one of the greatest things about the international series to me is how it has, each time we play a game outside the U.S., it wakes up the media that, yes, there is football outside of the United States. They've played college football in Mexico for almost 100 years. Mm-hmm. So, again, I think whether it's the U.K., Japan, Mexico, all around the globe, the game is growing, and I think people need to take stock of that.
We're going to make our picks for week 12, but just as you mentioned, the Mexico game then. So we recorded our podcast before that game was played earlier this week. The Raiders won the game, but there were a couple of issues in there. There was one where Houston were complaining the spot of the ball. They got a bad spot, and that's become the talk of whether you put a chip in the football. I know we've talked about that before. But another one to me, Jeff, that DeAndre Hopkins catches the ball going down the left sideline. They whistle that he's gone out of bounds. He runs into the end zone for a touchdown, and then it emerges that he didn't go out of bounds. But obviously you can't appeal that because there's a whistle already which has stopped the play. There's got to be some common sense there where if we're going to have technology and we're going to use instant replay, if the guy's foot is right near the line, as an official, I say let him play, let the play run out naturally, and then you review it by replay. That was completely the wrong way of doing it. To blow it dead killed everything. Couldn't even review it.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Any of those questionable situations where an athlete's on the sideline, you want to hold the whistle unless he's in peril, unless there's, you know, he's getting hit. And in that case, you know, it was just, I guess the only way you describe it is gross human error. You know, I think there's a move afoot right now for more technology in the game and trying to remove as much of the human error as possible in the game. I understand. I mean, I battle with those guys every Sunday, those officials every Sunday. But the reality of it is, you know, there's an awful lot at stake in every game. And, you know, the more we can do to make the game as clean a game as we can make it for the players so that the game is decided on facts, not on human error.
I would say the one thing that kind of emerged from that Houston-Oakland game, again, was a call for fixed cameras on the sidelines. And really, when you think about it, Jeff, it's incredible that we don't have that. When you think about how many TV cameras... Who's that? Who's that on your phone?
I don't know. 46. Where's that? Germany or Sweden? I don't know. They'll have to wait. They'll have to wait.
I was hoping it was going to be like, you know, Jerry Glanville or someone.
Yeah, that would be Jerry Glanville. He'd know we were on the radio. He'd want to get in. Hey, did I ever tell you about the time?
But there's a call for fixed cameras, and maybe that's a way of of eliminating one thing. But I'm with you. I think there's a general feeling. There's a general feeling that use the technology. There's enough of it there now. Obviously, be careful about how you slow down the game. But I bet this becomes a big discussion point in the offseason.
Yeah, and I don't think it really necessarily has to slow down the game. I mean, what slows down the game more than having to go underneath that hood for, right, you know, discussions that we really don't need to have?
Yeah.
You know, I, the one that amazes me, you talk about placement of the ball, Neil, and as a special teams guy, the one that is just absolutely baffling to me is when a punt goes out of bounds inside the 20-yard line, an official kind of runs up the sidelines to where he thinks it went on.
Right. I mean,
that's a guess at best, those guys are doing.
Has there ever been one? I've never watched, in all my years of the NFL, I've never watched one of those sail out of bounds and see the guy run and then stop about where I think it went out. He just keeps running, and as coaches, that must drive you mad. It's like, why is he still running?
It's amazing, but late in the season this year, we had the very situation, and the guy just keeps running up the sideline. And I looked at the guy next to me and I said, he doesn't have it. He's just guessing. Yeah. And that's really what it is. It's just a freaking guess.
You didn't say that. You said a lot more than that.
I did.
I know you said a lot more than that. Let's make our actually, before we get on to make our picks, one of our games on Sunday.
Hey, by the way, were you perfect? Did you pull off a perfect week?
I did. I went 13-0.
And you weren't gonna. I thought you'd be.
I've got it here. Oh. I'm gonna mention it. Don't worry. I'm not
Don Shula, beware. Neil's 13-0.
I wasn't gonna be that modest, Jeff. It was there. You went 12-1. I went 13-0, and that's. As you said,
Alex Smith, you're killing me.
Yeah, that was the one, wasn't it?
Smith, of all the quarterbacks, yeah, Alex Smith.
Throwing a pick in the end zone, Chris Conte runs it all the way back.
Chris Conte.
2 weeks in a row, right? We got one of the games on Sunday that we'll talk about in a moment is the Arizona Cardinals at the Atlanta Falcons. We're having a jovial conversation here, but again, worrying times for Bruce Arians. I think it's a reminder of the stress the coaches are under. He went into hospital earlier this week with chest pains, thankfully been given the all clear. But yeah, it's just that every now and then one of these comes up and whacks you around the head and says, you try being a coach in the NFL.
Well, I don't think people can really understand just the immense stress that these guys are under. Now, Bruce is up into his 60s now. You don't sleep good. You don't eat good. And when you go from being one of the teams that's, you know, in that, you know, the Super Bowl conversation before the season to a disappointing season like they've had, it takes a toll on you. And it was really interesting to see, and I thought really admirable to see Larry Fitzgerald stand up and say, as players, they feel partly responsible for the stress that Bruce is under. And you know, everybody shares in it. And but the bottom line, when you're the guy that sits in the corner office, when you're the head coach, the buck stops at your door, and all of the challenges and all of the expectations and all of the frustrations manifest themselves.
And he's not going to be the kind of coach. And Jeff, this is the best thing for him to do now. If I was complaining of chest pains on a Monday, I would probably take the rest of the week off work, or I'd take a couple of days. This is not your regular 9-to-5 job. He's probably right back at it Tuesday. As soon as he got the all clear from the hospital, he was probably back in the office the next day. That's the problem.
Yeah, and let me just say that Bruce probably balances it all better than most guys do.
Yeah.
But yet still, you're talking about 14 to 16-hour days under that immense stress. The pressure of the grind, the 16-week grind, and knowing that now you're two games behind Seattle. Mm. If you lose again, it's probably over for you. And, you know, especially when you're a guy at 62 or 3 like Bruce is, you don't know how many more cracks at this thing you're going to get. So he's got a good football team. They just got to play better.
It's just one of those as well, Jeff. I mean, we joke about it sometimes when you and I are around, you know, together and we're keeping funny hours, amount of coffee we drink. But every time he probably guzzles a cup of coffee, up goes the heart rate. I mean, it's just, you're right. It's sort of something that you kind of take for granted. He's probably just got to try and get through it and lean on his assistants, I guess, as much as he can.
Yeah, and you know, that's hard to do because let me tell you something, this business is populated with type A personalities, right? Guys that are extremely competitive, guys that
wouldn't be there if they were.
Exactly. Yeah. You can't live in that shark tank if you're not.
Hmm.
So typically what happens when you start to struggle is instead of doing less and getting more balance in your life, you go the other direction and you want to do more. You want to look at more tape. You want to watch, you know, watch practice harder. You want to, you know, longer meetings with the coaches. Let me tell you something. When Coach Vermeil had his nervous breakdown, they called it burnout at the time, but it was basically a nervous breakdown. He told me the story of coming out of Veterans Stadium on a Thursday night, the only night he went home all week, and sticking the key of the car, the door in his car, opening the door, and just being paralyzed with fear that he hadn't watched enough tape. There was something that he could go back and figure out about next week's opponent to give him an edge. And he collapsed into the car, called his wife on the car phone, and says, come get me because I'm in trouble. That's the kind of stress that these guys endure.
All right, Jeff, I wasn't planning to drop this into the podcast, but I'm glad you mentioned it there, because when I spoke to Carl Peterson, who worked with Dick Vermeil for a number of years and was the president and general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs, I spoke to him around the international series. And Carl Peterson, we talked about player safety, but importantly, we talked about coach safety. So we'll pause for just a second and let's hear what Carl Peterson had to say about the safety and the health of NFL head coaches.
Well, again, I think that's a key, again, of a general manager and a head coach being on the same page. You know, there are times when you just have to say to the coach, listen, you've done all you can do. I can't ask you to do it anymore. Now it's time for you and your wife to take a break. Take the weekend off, bye week, whatever it might be. But my experience, obviously, with coaches in the National Football League is that they're just workaholics. And I've worked for probably the biggest one ever in Dick Vermeil, both at UCLA and Philadelphia, and then he coached for me at Kansas City.
Did he always feel like there was something still to be done? Was that the...
Dick's edict was, until the later years in his coaching, he finally... I called it mellowing. He said it's because he drank a little more of his wine. But he did back down from meetings that would go to 1 o'clock in the morning and then start again at 6 and then try to conduct an entire practice with a coaching staff that was exhausted. But the other thing, you know, I always, because my owner suggested it and I thought it was a great idea, I had my, particularly my head coach, but all the assistant coaches, take yearly executive physicals. I wanted to know how they were physically, and not trying to be prying or invade someone's privacy. But if he had the smallest indication being a coach, I want to know about it from a medical standpoint, and so we can address it. Because many of these guys will just work themselves into, unfortunately, you know, a bad situation. Always encourage, and most coaches do, they get exercise every day. You got to get away from the office. You got to get away from the players, whether you run or work out or look, but just do something every day during the season. And but again, the hours are precious, and a guy like Dick Vermeil early in his career, he thought, maybe I'm not as smart as those other coaches, but I can outwork any of them. And that's not a very smart thing in itself.
Think you're the best at fantasy football? Don't wait till the end of the season to find out. Put your fantasy football knowledge to the test and win big every week at DraftKings.co.uk. DraftKings is the destination for one-week fantasy football. At DraftKings, you can play whenever you want, against who you like, in a variety of contests. Playing is easy. Just choose your contest, create your lineup, and follow your team live. Hurry to DraftKings.co.uk/NFL and play for free. That's DraftKings.co.uk/NFL. Play free for a shot at winning amazing prizes, including a trip to the Super Bowl, a jersey of your choice, DraftKings merchandise, and much more. Only at DraftKings.co.uk/NFL.
All right, Jeff, let's make our picks for week 12 then, starting, and we have some good games, Jeff.
Some big, big football games.
Thanksgiving. I mean, we kind of always say, oh, they're good games, but they really are this week on Thanksgiving. This whole weekend, it's five division games. I feel like this is going to be one of those kind of shake them all up and decide some things. First one on Thursday, so we're on air at 5 o'clock. It's the 5:30 kickoff, Minnesota at Detroit.
Man, I'm going to tell you something. This one has all the makings of a slugfest.
Yeah.
And now, if you like physical football, this is a game you want to watch. Interesting dichotomy, these two teams. Minnesota got great defense, you know, struggling a little bit, although offensively, that, you know, they're scoring 6 points a game more now that they've had the change in offensive coordinator. But The Lions, on the other hand, struggle to run the football, and they have so much put on Matthew Stafford's shoulders. Even though it's in Detroit, I think this is a game that the Vikings have to win. If they lose, they go two down to Minnesota Detroit, because Detroit's got the tiebreaker already. So I think the Vikings will be ready, and I'm going to take the Vikings.
All right, you're going Vikings. I think there's not a lot between these two teams, as you say. They're struggling to run the ball. Interestingly, last week, both teams scored on offense, defense, and special teams. I feel like they need that kind of help at the moment. With Matthew Stafford winning all these close games, I want to go with Detroit because I think he's the best quarterback I would trust down the stretch. But I'm probably with you. I still think the better team that's probably just trying to get out of a rough patch is Minnesota. So I'm going Minnesota. Second game's an absolute doozy. Washington at Dallas.
This is going to be a great football game. Now, I think this one is going to be just the opposite of the Minnesota-Detroit game in that I can see the Minnesota-Detroit game finishing 2017. I think this one's going to be up in the 30s. Both these teams can score. Mm. You know, you look at how Cousins is playing right now, and you got to search to find a quarterback who's hotter than he is. Mm. The Cowboys play great complimentary football. They're fifth in the NFL and on defense, although I think that's a little overrated because of the fact their offense keeps the ball away from them.
Yep.
But they have those long drives. They Dak Prescott's been an outstanding rookie at the quarterback position, and Ezekiel Elliott's on pace to lead the NFL in rushing, maybe be the MVP behind that great Dallas offensive line. It's in Big D. It'll be a huge environment. I mean, it'll be crazy in that place. So I'm going to take Dallas.
Yeah, I'm with you on everything you say there because I think Kirk Cousins has been, I think even back to the second half of last season, and I don't know, I'm sure the numbers will bear it out. There's very few quarterbacks that have been better than him around the NFL. Got to see him at Wembley, and he was outstanding to watch.
So. Well, you know, Neil, when you look at Washington, I'm interested to hear your take on this because you've been close to them and studied them probably in more detail than I have. What I see is a team that has more than just one weapon. Cousins has a number of places he can put the football.
Well, you look at last week, they had Pierre Garçon had a long touchdown catch. Jordan Reed and Vernon Davis combined for about 120 yards. You got the new kid, Rob Kelly, at running back. And that suits Kirk Cousins. There's certain quarterbacks that I think can put a team on their back and do it with whoever's around them. But then I think there's also those that are the great sort of string pullers, and that's what Kirk is, because he makes quick decisions, he's accurate with his passes, and actually Jay Gruden singled him out this week for two things: his accuracy and his decision making. I think he's a great fit for this offense.
Well, you hit on a name there that I'm so glad to see him playing well again, Vernon Davis.
Yeah,
if you remember back last year at the Super Bowl, we're sitting interviewing.
He was on milk cartons, Jeff. It's like missing person.
We're sitting there talking to him at the run up to the Super Bowl. And really, until Snoop Dogg walked over to talk, we had full conversation with him. I mean, there was nobody there talking to him. Here was a guy that was once one of the preeminent tight ends in the league in San Francisco, and he's, like you say, was on a milk carton in Denver. Now he's resurrected his career again in Washington. I like to see that.
One thing I just wanted to pick up on you, maybe we could drop the word rookie. When we call Dak Prescott an outstanding rookie, he doesn't play like a rookie.
No, man, he's just playing exactly.
Look at this last week, Jeff. Back end of the game, last 19 of 20 passes. That's with the game on the line.
Now, you want some validation of who this kid is. Mm-hmm. And I saw this today, and it was amazing. I've known Dak since he was a high school player in Louisiana. He's an amazing kid. I wanted to stay close to home, went to Mississippi State because his mother was battling cancer. He comes from a very, very, very close home. Great kid. All of his high school coaches said everything about him. Let me tell you something. I watched a little piece of film, and you think that coaches maybe have different kinds of observations, but he's sitting on the sideline at Dallas, finishes a drink of Gatorade in a cup, throws the cup over his shoulder, and the cup doesn't go in the trash can. He looks at it, gets up off the bench, walks behind the bench, picks up the cup, and throws it in the trash can. Not knowing a camera was even on him.
Right.
And boy, you talk about something that says something about that guy.
These are the kind of things, little things that tell you something about a player. So I told the story when we were doing the podcast last year. No cameras around, and Andrew Luck is carrying the cameraman's gear out to the middle of the field, ready to do this shoot, just because he wanted to help the guy carry it. Didn't have to, probably would have been told not to by a PR person, but those sort of little things, and they never... they never directly relate to what is on the field, but they do.
They directly relate to what's on the field. You're exactly right. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you something. Cleveland Browns scouting department, pay attention to those little things, because you want to turn a team around. Yeah. You want to turn a franchise around. You need those kinds of guys. There's a lot of talented football
players. The intangibles, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Because those things, when it's tough, those things are the things that are going to, you know, keep you going in the right direction.
All right. I like Washington a lot. I'm a firm believer that Kirk's going to get them into the playoffs. But this is a pick'em game. So when it's like that, I go with the home team as well. I'm with you. I'm going Dallas. Pittsburgh at Indianapolis. Let's move through this one a little bit quicker, Jeff. We'll get through a lot of the games. No Andrew Luck by the looks of it. Scott Tolzien against Ben Roethlisberger. I'm going to go with Pittsburgh.
That's fighting a guy with a 45 caliber handgun, and you got a water pistol.
Yeah. Well, you're going Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to Sunday. Tennessee at Chicago. Looks like Matt Barkley's going to start. Cutler's done for the year. And dare I say it, done for good in Chicago.
I think it's going to be a little bit of a struggle, but I think Tennessee's going to win this one.
Yeah, I'm going Tennessee as well to win that one. They're still inconsistent, the Titans. Jacksonville at Buffalo. Rex called Jacksonville the best two-win team in NFL history. Rex has just blown several metric tons of hot air straight up Gus Bradley's...
I'm not sure it's hot. I'm not sure it's hot air, but I think it's hot and steaming what he's throwing around.
Yeah. I'm going Buffalo.
I'm going to take Buffalo.
All right. Jag's been such a disappointment this year. We talked about that a lot. Cincinnati at Baltimore. So Cincinnati, no AJ Green. Giovanni Bernard's now out for the rest of the season. We talked on Monday about Marvin Jones gone, Mohamed Sanu gone, Hugh Jackson gone. Just turning into that kind of season for Cincinnati. And I was impressed with Baltimore at Dallas, so I'm going to pick the Ravens.
Yeah, I agree with you, Neil. I think that the season has slid away from the Bengals now. Now all this recent spate of injuries is going to make it too tough on them.
All right, let's move on to... This is our first game on Sunday on Sky Sports. Arizona at Atlanta. So the Falcons are coming off a bye. Arizona have just been too sloppy, Jeff. Special teams letdowns, turnovers. I mean, you name it, they've kind of had it for a talented team.
Yeah, you know, and it's really unfortunate because... Carson Palmer's been just so inconsistent, and he hasn't protected the football like you got to protect the football in the National Football League if you're going to win. And, you know, on the other hand, on the other side of the sidelines, you know, Ryan's playing doggone good football, and they've got weapons over there. And you know, I give Dan Quinn some credit. He took a lot of criticism at that end of the first year, and he's got this team playing pretty good football.
All right, I'm going Atlanta. You going Atlanta?
Atlanta.
All right, both Atlanta in that one. The New York Giants at the Cleveland Browns. We were just talking before we started recording this, saying we are struggling to see where that Browns win is going to come from. They're at home. I don't think they get it against the Giants.
No, I'm going to take the Giants all the way.
That's bold predictions, isn't it? We're sticking our necks on the line there.
Masters of the obvious that we are.
Yeah. LA Rams at New Orleans Saints. So the Saints were... 1 minute and 22 seconds away from going to 5-4 with that blocked extra point.
Wow.
5 days later, they barely blinked and they're 4-6. I mean, that's how fine margin it is, but I'm going to take them to win at home against the Rams.
You know, and they bring in Kevin O'Day, who used to be the special teams coordinator for the Tampa Bay Bucks, to give them an extra special teams coach. And I'm going to tell Sean, I would say this to Sean if he was sitting right here. It's not about bringing in an extra guy. It's just about getting your guys to do what they're asked to do. Mm. Now, some of that blame goes on the kicker because that ball came out real low.
Yep.
But that's the kinds of things that bad teams do. They find a way to lose, just like good teams find a way to win. So I don't know if I can pick them. It's hard for me to pick a team that seems to find a way to lose every week.
Going Rams?
I'm going to take the Rams.
Oh, I like it. That's a bold one. See there? Yeah, you're braver than me, Jeff. San Francisco at Miami. So there's been some improved effort from the 49ers. They played tough against Arizona. They kind of held serve a little bit with New England or stayed on pace a little bit with them, but then it stopped raining and Brady just shredded them. I don't see them keeping up with Miami. You know, Miami have got problems on the offensive line, which appear to have been settled. Now they're injured again up front, but I think this 49ers team is heading for that kind of 1-15, 2-14 type season, so I'm going Miami.
Yeah, I agree with you, Neil. I think Miami's playing better football. I think Miami, while San Francisco's gotten incrementally better, Miami's gotten better by leaps and bounds when they had the change of approach and stopped putting it on Tannehill and started putting it on Jay Ajayi.
Yeah, you got to look at the 49ers' starting point as well. They were awful. Now they're just terrible. So, yes, progress. Next week, they'll just be bad. Let's go San Diego at Houston. It's a tricky one, this one, because I'm not a big believer of Houston at all. I'm really not. I'm just not buying the whole Brock Osweiler thing.
You know, they spend all that money, and the kid is just not done it like anybody anticipated he would do. You never like to see a guy struggle, but, you know, the realities of it is he's not playing good enough football. And San Diego's one of those tricky teams to me.
Always dangerous.
As long as they got Phillip Rivers swinging at sidearm, they got a chance. Yeah. And their defense is better, I think a little better. Mm. John Pagano's done a good job there. I'm going to take San Diego.
I'm going San Diego to win that one on the road as well. Yeah. I'm going for a road winner in Tampa Bay as well. I'm going to go Seattle to keep it rolling. They look now, and you mentioned it on Monday, they've still got Michael Bennett to come back. CJ Procise is going to be gone for a while, but Thomas Rawls is back. They look like, well, it's the Seahawks that always play this last 5 or 6 weeks of the season. They always get it rolling. Pete gets them going. Wow. They kind of figure it all out, Jeff, and then they get on a roll.
Dirk Cutter says his quarterback's playing better these last weeks than anybody in football, and that's Jameis Winston. I don't know if I'm buying that bill of goods, yeah. But it will find out real fast against this Seattle defense, especially with Michael Bennett back. I just think Seattle's too good a football team in all three phases for an improving Tampa Bay team.
Yeah, I get where Dirk's coming from. Jameis said 2 interceptions his last 6 games, so it's definite progress, but this is a step up when you play Seattle.
Yeah, again, you're talking about playing against one of the best defenses in the league that feasts on quarterbacks who are, you know, don't take care of the football. And again, that's always been his history. So we'll see who wins at this one.
All right. Our second game on Sky Sports on Sunday is Carolina at Oakland. It's a 9:25 kickoff UK time. Carolina have been a tale of woe this year, Jeff. They've been, this is a post-Super Bowl hangover. It's been terrible. Cam's getting hit so much. You know what? They're two games out of first place in their division with 6 to play. They are still alive. As much as we kind of want to worry about them, they are still alive.
Yeah, they are. And you know, again, we talked about the NFC North, rather. Excuse me. How that's a division where, you know, you can win that. You might win that league with an 8-8 record. I mean, that's the possibility. I think they're in the same boat. They need this one, though. They need this one. They got to hope that Oakland, coming off that Monday night trip to Mexico City, might have got a little of that tequila worm in them. But if the Raiders are the Raiders, that won't faze them at all. As a matter of fact, if the Raiders are the Raiders that I used to know, they might play better with a little of that tequila worm in them. And the Raiders.
They might still be drinking all night to kick off. I wonder if they took, because they take a lot of their alumni to
oh, my gosh.
Freddie B was on that. Freddie B's got a few tequila words in him at the moment.
Phil Villapiano, Freddie B. Lord, help me.
Oh, Ted Hendricks. Fantastic. No Luke Kuechly by the looks of it for the Panthers. No Ryan Khalil still at center. Those are
Those are the quarterback of the defense, the middle linebacker, and the quarterback of the offense, the true quarterback of the offense, the center, who makes all the calls and gets all the protections done. Those are huge, huge losses for this Carolina team.
I'm going Oakland. You?
I like Oakland.
All right. Kansas City at Denver is our next game. This one's, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go straight. I think the Chiefs get right back on track. On the road, with their defense, I'm going to give Chiefs
a win. You know, I had a little interaction today with a couple of my Twitter followers about this, and Chiefs fans that are, you know, all concerned after the loss last week. If you look at the body of work of the Chiefs in the last 21 games, I don't know if there's anybody that's got the record they've got in the National Football League. I think Denver's come back a little bit. You know, the Chiefs' defense will, you know, cause problems for Simeon. And, again, this is a team that can frustrate the great pass rushers that Denver has because the ball's out of Alex Smith's hands so fast. This is a huge rival game going all the way back to the old AFL days, but I'm going to take the Chiefs.
All right, both going Kansas City to win on the road there. Sunday night, New England at the New York Jets. I'm not sure that is. I think that's been flexed. That's me making a mistake. This is an old schedule I'm working from. But anyway, working down my list.
I think that's on Sunday night now, isn't it?
No, so the Chiefs and Denver is the Sunday night game. Yep. And I've got an old schedule in front of me, so that what was the old Sunday night game is our last one to pick on a Sunday.
What does that tell you about the Jets when they...
nobody wants to watch them anymore. No one wants to watch them. I'm going to go New England.
Yeah, I've got to take New England.
All right, so both going New England there. This one I know for sure is on Monday night, and it will wrap up 7 games on Sky Sports this week. And it's Green Bay at Philadelphia. Packers have lost 4 in a row, as we talked about before, earlier this week. Everything's about Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy, but secondary, Jeff, is absolutely abysmal at the moment.
You know, in as much attention as they've given that secondary in the last 3 or 4 years with the draft and free agent signing, all that stuff, they've really tried to upgrade in the back end. You know, you look at that defense, and right now, who are they going to play at inside linebacker? Mm. Jake Ryan's hurt. I mean, I think they're going to have to move Matthews back inside, which is where he doesn't play as well, can't impact the game as well. And then you've got a wounded secondary. And so if you take one of your 2 best pass rushers, and now he's a middle linebacker because you have no middle linebackers, you've weakened your pass rush, and that doesn't bode well for the secondary. I think the Eagles have a very underrated defense, and they match up well with the Packers.
But do the Eagles have the wide receivers to test that secondary we've been talking about? Because Ryan Matthews is hurt. Darren Sproles is injured. So it could be back on Carson Wentz. I'm picking Green Bay because for that reason.
Well, my understanding is Matthews is going to play. Now, he's dinged up, but he's going to play. And I think that he'll find a way. This is the time of year, Neil, where everybody's hurt.
Right, so that's misleading sometimes.
Yeah, because you read those injury reports. Yeah. And let me tell you something. Everybody's hurt right now. Even the coaches are hurting. So, so the bottom line is, if you want to get to the playoffs, and the Eagles are a team that has a chance to get to the playoffs, you find a way to get out there, and you're going to compete because, you know, that's just what the game requires.
Going Eagles?
I'm going to take the Eagles.
All right. So we are done with our picks. We're not going to take any mailbag questions for now because I've only just arrived at Sky, and I forgot to tweet out that we wanted mailbag questions. This is how we roll, Jeff. See, we just make it up as we go along.
Hey, but you know what? That's why we are the,
most
listened to NFL podcast out of the confines of the United States of America.
There you go. And so
we are glad you listened.
Yeah, I like it. We're off to the touch screen now. We've got new toys to work.
Hey, and they tell me now, you tell me this technology is pretty fancy.
It is, but now we need a coach on the other end of it. We've got everything complete now, Jeff. So this has been Inside the Huddle. In association with NFL Shop Europe and DraftKings.co.uk. Make sure you enjoy those games on Sky Sports. We've got 7 of them live this week. Jeff's pointing at me. Wants to
and if you are out there listening and you like having 2 podcasts a week,
there you go.
All you got to do is just let them know at NFLUK.com. I need double dose of Inside the Huddle.
Yeah, and if you guys don't think that works, last year we weren't going on tour in January until you made that announcement on the podcast, told people to start tweeting at NFL UK, and suddenly we were 4 nights around the country, thousands of people.
You know, and that's one of the things I love about the fact that NFL UK, all the way from Alistair through everybody that works in those offices, really does listen, really does pay attention. And, you know, if you shout it loud enough, they're going to hear you.
Yeah, if you think me and Jeff need a pay rise, you should. That's it, I pushed it too far. Jeff, say goodbye to the good folks.
Aloha.